last time you were here, virtually at least, was Comfish. When I saw you last, and I wanted to start out with that because one of the big concerns that people brought up at the end of the legislative session that you were a part of was the Pebble Mine and the future of it. And I wanted to ask you about the recent proposed determination regarding that and the EPA.
Right. So it was the 25th of May. The EPA came out with this PD, this proposed determination, effectively moving forward with a veto of the Pebble project. Now, keep in mind that during the Trump administration, it was determined that this project was a project that should not go forward, be permitted. So the EPA has taken a regulatory step that would effectively be that permanent veto. As folks, I think I'm pretty sure most everyone knows, I have come out in opposition of the Pebble project. I believed that the Trump administration in rejecting that permit was the right decision. I have expressed some concern about the EPA regulatory process because we do worry about a precedent of a 404 veto being utilized for other resource development projects. I've also said that I think that what those in the region hope for is permanent protection. And so if we really want to have enduring protections, the best way to do that is through legislation. So I have encouraged a broader stakeholder process to do just exactly that.
And one other thing you had spoken about was the fishery disaster designations. Yeah. That's obviously top of mind for people here across Alaska. Has there been any movement at a congressional level to maybe expedite the payment program to skippers and crew?
We, Senator Sullivan and I, are both engaged in legislative efforts to really improve the process, because right now it is a, I'll just use the word, dysfunctional. I mean, when you have a disaster declared in 2018 and you don't get it through that process for payment until 2022, that's flawed. That needs to be addressed and needs to be corrected. And so we've been working with the administration. Secretary Raimondo, who is the Secretary of Commerce, I think got a real earful when she heard from us about this backlog and what we need to do to accelerate that. But we need to do it legislatively as well. And this is where the legislation that Senator Sullivan and I, working with Senator Wicker, Senator Cantwell, are making some progress. We were successful in getting a good portion of fisheries disaster funding directed to the state of Alaska. That helps, but we've got to have a better system, and that's what we're continuing to address.
For everybody around the country, I think this week it's been particularly horrifying to see what happened in Texas. As we're figuring out what happened, what to do next, is this the time to address gun laws? What are the next steps that we need to take as a country?
There's a lot of discussion about what we should do, what we should not do. But one thing that I hope that Americans can agree to is that doing nothing is not an option. Right now, we have a system that is allowing our children to be slaughtered in their schools, in a place where, as a parent, as a community, you want to believe that when the kids go to school, they're going to be safe. I have supported every increment of funding, every bill that has come forward that talks about different school safety programs, but I don't think our answer is to turn our schools into these fortresses. I don't think it is to arm our teachers to act as, in addition to educating the kids and comforting the kids, now be the one defending the children. That is not where the answer lies either. And so I think we need to look very, very, very critically at what we have in front of us in terms of enforcement that is out there on the books, but we have yet to actually put in place. There's a lot of discussion right now about raising the age of gun ownership. That's something that it's fair to say we should be looking at. But I also recognize that for so many Alaskans, it's the 14-year-old boy who's going out and bringing home ducks and birds for the family out in the villages. And so how we ensure that not only we are protecting that Second Amendment right, we're also recognizing that in a state like Alaska, where guns are really a very important tool, how we work to make sure that our children are not the ones who pay for this freedom that we have under the Second Amendment.
On another topic that's gotten a lot of attention recently, Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. You expressed your disappointment in the leaked opinion that came out. What is the next step for that?
Well, the next step is clearly coming from the Supreme Court. It's anticipated that the decision in the Dobbs case will probably come down probably the end of June. In the meantime, I have been working with several different members on both sides of the aisle to see if it is possible for us to actually advance a measure that would codify Roe versus Wade, that would codify it in such a way that recognizes that a woman has that choice to make an exceptionally difficult decision, recognizing that there are limits in time and circumstance that is appropriate under the law, and to put in place a level of certainty, I think, to women in this country that your reproductive rights will be protected. So I'm hopeful that there will be that opportunity to do that in these intervening weeks.